series based on the mutual love and mistrust of two newlyweds, with Richard Brass as George Starling and Prunella Scales as his wife, Kate.
Did you have any trouble sleeping in a double bed when you first got married? You know, after so many years in a single bed where you know, you could turn and stretch and kick whenever you felt like it, it's a bit tricky, isn't it, when you have to lie like a statue in case you wake your wife up? One night recently, the only way I could honestly get comfortable and stay in bed was to pile a few suitcases on the floor on my side of the bed, plonk my pillow on top of them, and lie with my head and shoulders on top of that. Well, this gave me a good night, all right, but it led to a rather rotten day.
George, what are you doing?
Oh, morning, darling.
What are you doing?
Nothing, I've only just woken up, darling.
What are you lying on there?
Suitcases.
Why?
Darling, don't fire questions at me. I've only just surfaced.
Just surfaced out of a pile of suitcases?
Yeah, well, I couldn't sleep.
Well, I'm not surprised.
No, I felt perfectly all right on the suitcases. I couldn't sleep before that. I say, it looks like a better day.
Why couldn't you sleep?
Well, the bed's a bit small.
Well, it's the same size as last night.
Don't worry, darling. You can't help moving.
Moving?
It's in your sleep. You move about.
Well, I expect you do, too.
Oh, no, darling. Never. No, I never have stayed on the suitcases.
Well, why didn't you wake me?
Oh, no. How could I? You were snoring away so peacefully.
Don't snore.
No. Well, of course you don't, darling. It's more a sort of a series of little grunts.
You're making all this up.
Darling, honestly.
You're just as likely to wake me up stamping around the room collecting suitcases.
Well, it didn't last night.
George, you're being perfect.
Okay, I'm not criticizing.
Not criticizing when you accused me of snoring and rolling all night. Well, you helped to choose it.
What?
The bed. Didn't say anything in the shop, did you?
No, we didn't get into it in the shop.
I should think not. It was embarrassing enough with you sitting on it and bouncing.
But I wouldn't have mentioned it at all.
You could easily have had a bigger one. The rest of the world sleeps on a 4'6", but if you wanted a bigger one, you only have to say so.
I know.
I must say, I don't know what the salesman would have thought. Two people getting married and couldn't wait to put half a mile between them. I wonder you didn't want single beds.
Well, some couples have them, you know.
Do they?
Oh, yes, I believe they're becoming quite the thing.
Are they?
Yeah, I read about it just the other day, as a matter of fact. So, we've bought our bed. We must lie in it, eh?
Well, half out of it.
Yes.
Hello, George. Your bus not come yet.
Morning, Peter. No, it never does. I thought you left before me.
What? Yes, well, I do normally, but Nora and I had one or two epithets to loose off at each other this morning.
Well, I'm jolly glad someone else had a Barney over breakfast.
What?
I'm surprised you didn't hear us.
That's not too good, old man.
What isn't?
A row, first thing.
What do you mean? You just had one?
Yes, we talked up 3 years. In the early days, you're supposed to lie in to the last moment, you see, cooing and whispering at each other.
Who said?
I read it in a book. Or unless it was just a continuation of a row you had last night, that's all right.
Well, it wasn't.
Wasn't it?
Look, Peter, what book are you talking about?
Well, Kate was looking at it the other night when you came round. Didn't you see it?
No.
Well, it's called Marital Psychology. I didn't buy it. It's Nora's.
Yeah, well, what does it say?
Well, too many rows in the early days, especially first thing. Well, it means one of you's unhappy about something.
Well, it wasn't me. I mean, I spent the night on the suitcases and I never complained.
Suitcases.
Oh, never mind. I was so tired I didn't have the strength to answer back. She still kept on going on at me, you know.
Is she really?
Yeah. So what's she unhappy about?
Well, it sounds as though she's broody.
Broody?
Yeah. Here's my bus.
Yeah, what do you mean, broody?
I mean, tonight. How about 6 days?
6 o'clock.
Get full fast.
Right.
Broody?
Okay.
Nora,
I wonder if I could borrow a little washing powder.
Of course, come in.
I've got the wash on. I don't want to go down to the shop.
Oh, for heaven's no, wait here.
I'll let you have it back as soon as I can.
Oh, don't be silly, darling. I never feel I'm paying for soap like these days. There's always pipe and soft, isn't there? Or a free plastic daffodil strapped to the package. Here we are. What's that you're reading? Marital psychology. Okay, really. It's as bad as reading a medical book, and you think there's something wrong with your marriage instead of your tummy. The only time Peter ever took it out of the bookcase, he threw it at me. Oh, Kate.
There is something wrong with our marriage, Nora.
Nonsense.
Oh, we're just in our worst quarrel ever. He left without having his breakfast.
Kate, everyone quarrels in the early days.
Did Peter ever leave without having his breakfast?
No. But Peter's a pig.
We've only been married a few months, and I think we've had 3 hours a week.
Well, enjoy them while you can, darling. They don't come nearly so often later on.
Really?
You wait and see. It gets terribly quiet in the evening.
Sorry, Nora. It was just reading that chapter the other night.
Oh, you silly girl.
You won't believe it, but when I rang your bell, I thought our marriage was over just because George had gone off the bed. What's the matter?
What do you mean, dear? Gone off the bed.
Well, he said...
Why? What did he say?
Well, it wasn't so much what he said as what he did.
Give me that book.
But you said the book didn't apply to us.
No, of course it doesn't.
Well, he just said that he couldn't sleep.
Which chapter was it?
What's the matter, Nora?
Warning signals.
Yes, when they start saying the bed's too small.
Or alternatively suggest the purchase of single beds. Did he suggest?
Yes.
And what did he do?
What?
You said it wasn't what he said.
Oh, yes, he was sleeping on a pile of suitcases.
Suitcases?
Yes, it's not in the book.
Oh.
No, but everything else is, look, even about him not rowing. When they mean it, they don't row. They're quiet and calm and reasonable, and that exactly describes George on the suitcase.
Well, you can't believe everything you read.
But you believe it, don't you, Nora?
Oh, of course not. I mean, half these psychologists need their heads examined.
No, they're right. The bed's symbolical. It's a warning signal. His love's beginning to die.
Oh, no, darling, I doubt it, but there's never any harm in a bit of resuscitation.
Resuscitation?
Well, they're terribly demanding creatures, men. They can't have too much affection. Now, Peter and I had a tip this morning just because I'd forgotten to put the cozy on his egg.
So what should I do?
Well, I tell you what I'm going to do.
What?
I'm going to cook him something nice for supper. A souffle, perhaps. Anything that shows I've taken a bit of time and haven't just used a tin opener.
I suppose George has had rather a lot of cod lately.
There you are, then.
And fish fingers.
Oh, Lord. Still, it's worth taking the trouble because they always do something for us after a row.
Do they?
Well, Peter does. He comes home with a box of chocolates or a bottle of toilet water or some flowers, and all's well that ends well. Shakespeare. In actual fact, darling, it frequently ends even better than Shakespeare could have imagined.
Sorry to bother you, Nora. I know you're busy with your souffle. I just wanted to know, can you look at them?
What?
Once they're in the oven.
You're not doing one.
Yes, it's my first. Can you look at it?
Well, it depends, love. The first one I cooked, even the cat wouldn't look at it. Well, yes, of course you can, but not too often, because they're very shy.
Right.
I just hope George is punctual, that's all. The one thing a souffle likes less than being stared at is being kept waiting.
Oh, no, George is always home at 6:10.
And Peter's always on the dot of 6:15. You know, I think we're very lucky, Kate. When I think of some of the men my friends married, alcoholics with wanderlust, and we landed a couple of homing pigeons.
Right then, old man. What are you having?
Well, that's a bit long. Nora likes me home on the dot.
Just a half.
Gotta go. Another half, please. Look, I hope I didn't worry you this morning.
Oh, no. I'm married 5 whole minutes and you're told your wife can't wait to stop producing. Why should you worry me? Oh,
I didn't tell you anything. I was diagnosing.
Have you ever talked about it?
Children?
Yes.
Well, yeah, we mentioned it.
Before we were married, I said I didn't want to know for a few years.
Did you?
Well, I don't.
Huh. What did she say?
Oh, good Lord, I can't remember, can I? I was trying to get the engagement ring on her finger. It wasn't the moment for a biological chat.
What did she say this morning, then?
What? Oh, he just went on and on because I said I wished we'd bought a bigger bed.
You said you wanted a bigger bed?
Well, not in so many words.
You didn't mention single beds by any chance.
No. Well, not in so many...
Oh, blimey, O'Reilly.
What do you mean?
Well, it's bad enough telling your bride you can't wait to put a bedside table between you, but if she's broody to put...
Look, Peter, I do wish you'd stop using that word.
Don't you see, she was probably testing you out. She was seeing whether your feelings had changed since you got married. And when you immediately leapt into a discussion about single beds...
We didn't discuss it. I was lucky to get a word in edgeways.
Yes, yes. Well, that's the answer, I think, George. Your marriage isn't foundering. She just wants a family. Isn't that a relief?
A relief? It's the worst news I've had since we call up.
Well, I can't speak about children from experience, of course, but they say you grow to love them.
Yeah, and they just grow. A cuckoo in the nest with that ever-open mouth screaming and burping all over the shop. Yeah.
Well, if you feel like that, you must just try and make Kate's life worthwhile without family.
But Kate's life is worthwhile.
Is it?
Well, she's got me.
Yes. Very lovely too, George, but they need a little more, you see. Look, do you ever give a present?
No, I did all that before we were married.
Sure, blimey, mate, if you go on like that, you'll be halfway to having your own football team before you're 30.
Well, why? What sort of presents?
Oh, big ones, small ones, doesn't matter, as long as they roll in fairly regularly. I read it in marital psychology. The wife's got time on her hands, you see, while you're out at work. She starts thinking, wouldn't it be nice to have a few toys to tidy up? Or a nappy to wash out?
Don't.
You bring her home the oddball, but it has two effects. One, it makes her think, if we had children, he can afford to buy me presents. And two, listen, oh, she thinks, oh, he's so kind to me, always buying me things. I must keep his home spick and span. So she fills the day with housework.
Good Lord.
Oh, yes. You've got to realize, old man, they're highly complicated pieces of mechanism.
I never cease to thank heaven that men are such delightfully uncomplicated people. How do you mean? Well, we've both got a couple of problem children, but your souffle here and mine back there, and well, that's all that's needed to straighten them out. Now then. Let's have a look at it.
Well, I wouldn't have bothered you, but I thought it was getting brown on top.
But don't worry, darling. I think the patient will live.
Exciting, isn't it, watching them rise?
That's as long as you never have to see one fall, darling. Well, I must get back, and thank heavens Peter's a few minutes late tonight. It'll be perfect when he gets in.
Not only is your hair a girly out of tune, but your monkey's on fire.
Lovely, old man, lovely.
Oh, let's have a short this time. Two whiskies, please.
Oh, marvelous. I tell you, though, old man, yes. I must thank you for sorting me out.
Well, you know, quite honestly, George, it's just a question of thinking ahead. And that's only another word for consideration.
Yeah, consideration.
Consideration. If more husbands considered their wives the way we do...
My dear fellow, you have hit it right on the button, as usual.
Yes.
I tell you.
Yeah?
Chap where I work,
yeah?
When he leaves the office, he goes straight in the bar on the station, comes home all hours of the night, drunk, and then wonders why his marriage is on the rocks.
Ah, and if you hadn't bumped into me this morning, you might have been wondering what was wrong with your marriage.
Quite, and all she is a tiny bit broody.
Well, how about starting the good work tonight?
I beg your pardon?
Little something for little lady.
Oh, yes.
I've got to get something myself. Oh, let's see. Last time it was a box of chocolates. The time before that was a bottle of toilet water. The time before that, well, it was either flowers or a trinket. I think I'll come for a trinket. Flowers cost the earth.
The sky. Is it all right if I come with you?
Oh, yes, of course. The shop's just down the road. It's open till 7.
Is it? Oh, good. We've got time for another quickie.
Oh, yes. Hey, would you like a sausage?
No, thanks. I'll be eating soon.
Oh, me too, but even so.
I must say, they do look good, don't they?
Yes. Well, Nora can never get them all plump and shiny like that.
I know. It's funny, isn't it? Neither can Kate. Yeah. They're always bursting out at one end.
And burnt all down one side.
Two sausages, please.
Oh, never mind. They're very lovely.
What, the sausages?
Girls.
The girls.
Nora.
Is he back yet?
No. Is Peter?
No. That's what I came to tell you. Don't waste your gas on your souffle.
Oh, I know.
Sank like a stone.
Yes. Had to throw it away.
Oh, I've kept mine. I want him to see it. I want him to know what he did to it.
But aren't you worried?
Worried? Certainly not. He is the one who ought to be worried.
Yes, but don't you think he might have had an accident?
No, but he's certainly heading for one. I've just drunk half a bottle of Spanish Burgundy, and I'm in the mood to pour the other half over his head.
Oh, no, I couldn't be cross with George just as long as he's all right.
Oh, don't worry about them, Kate. They're not worth it.
Oh, they are.
I'm sorry, but they're all the same. Selfish, inconsiderate, worthless. They don't need us, you know, as long as they have each other.
What?
Well, it's true. Do you know what the greatest love affair of all time is?
What?
Two men going to a football match. Their minds are in tune, their hearts beat as one, and when somebody scores a goal, they turn and hug each other. I promise you, Kate, don't waste your tears. They're certainly not worrying about us.
And the porter said, I'm sorry, sir. No return fare for the baggage.
Oh. Well, then.
Well, then. Here we are, then.
Home again, then.
Yes, then.
Well, now, listen. I think, yeah, before we go in,
yeah, oh,
I think it's best if we conceal from them the fact we've had a beer.
Oh, yes.
Yes. They're funny about beer.
They're liable to turn rather ugly.
Oh, they have a job. Even you look lovely tonight.
you silly old thing.
No, seriously, don't be that.
Yes. Seriously?
You have opened my eyes tonight.
Have I?
You have. You taught me that the things, the real things yes. that a happy marriage is based on.
Well, thank you, George. I appreciate that. But I couldn't have done it without Nora.
Well, you thank Nora, too.
I will.
Yes. You know, we must do it again.
Well, the pub?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
When?
Tomorrow.
Oh, lovely. I'll see you then. Yes. Good night, old man.
Good night, John. Tomorrow, then.
Yeah. Then.
What? Oh, no, we're going to have a quiet drink with Peter.
Peter? Where's Peter now, George?
Hello, Nora!
Where's Peter, George?
He's home. I just left him.
Good night, Kate.
Yeah, bring him across my drink.
Good night, George.
Sorry about this, George, but I'm...
Darling, I was just coming to ask where you were. Hello, Kate.
Come on, Peter.
You must stay for a drink.
No, Peter must have his supper.
I'm not hungry.
We had a sausage in the pub.
You.
Come on, we got some wine.
I don't think they deserve a drink, do you, Kate?
There's hardly enough for a party, George.
Well, there's a bottle on our table. I'll go and get that.
Sweetheart. I shall be very cross with you.
I know that voice. She'll be cross with me whether I go or stay.
You might as well stay then.
Tomorrow, then.
Yeah,
Then. Oh, what a wonderful evening. Can I pour you a tot, darling?
Don't you think you've had enough, George?
What? No, I only had a beer. Why, two beers.
You smell of whiskey.
Oh, that was a chaser. All right, darling, it'll make you happy. I'll have a bit of the old blotting paper first. What is it, fish fingers?
A souffle?
Darling, you shouldn't have.
I know I shouldn't have. It was ready an hour ago.
Oh, well, I'm awfully sorry, darling. Never mind, I'm sure it'll be lovely. Where is it?
in the rubbish bin.
Oh, dear, it went wrong, did it?
Yes, George, it went wrong. Even Fanny Craddock couldn't keep a souffle reaching for the sky for an hour and a half.
Well, I'm sorry, darling. I mean, I wasn't to know.
And I wasn't to know that I was married to a selfish, inconsiderate drunkard.
Inconsiderate? Darling, now look, that's one word you cannot use.
When did you consider me tonight?
I'll tell you when. I went in the
shop. You didn't ring me?
What do you mean? Well, Peter didn't ring Nora.
Oh, he had more excuse than you. It's the first time he's been late in 3 years. You've only been married 3 months and the rot's set in already. Well, you're not taking me for granted, George.
Yeah, but you see there, we don't take you for granted. There's a whole point. Peter said...
You're not married to Peter, you know.
Darling, just because we have one quick beer.
Quick! It was long enough for the rise and fall of my souffle.
We just went in the King's Head on the way...
King's Head, yes. I always knew that pub would become an issue. I can't imagine how you tore yourself away before closing time.
I'm beginning to wish I hadn't.
Right. Back you go, then.
Right, then.
Half a bitter, please. No, I'll have Scotch, a large one.
Right. George?
Oh. Hello, Peter. I didn't see you. I just came out for some cigarettes.
Me too.
Oh, well, you've got time for a quickie.
Oh, thanks, old man.
Another Scotch, please. Oh, but can I have 20 cigarettes? The tip one. Yeah, the same as usual. Yes, the meal wasn't quite ready.
No, nor was mine.
13 and 11, please.
13 and... Oh, my. Oh, well.
Cheers. Bottoms up. George. I didn't really come out for cigarettes.
No?
No. I walked out on her.
You didn't?
I did.
Well, so did I.
On Kate?
Yes.
You did?
I did. We had a flaming row.
So did we? About a souffle.
So did we.
About a souffle?
Yes.
Ah, what a fantastic thing.
Good. Oh, small minds think alike, eh?
Well, I hope you slapped her down.
What?
Ooh, you've got to sort them out occasionally, you know, show them as boss.
Oh, yes. Oh, rather. Oh, my word. They're devils, aren't they?
Incarnate.
Oh, what? What? Self-centered, bad-tempered devils. Have another.
No, it's my turn. Yep. Two more, please.
Lovely. You know, when I think back to my bachelor days, yeah, and in here, happy days those were, Peter, drinking with the boys, yeah, and one always knew where one was with the boys.
Yeah. Well, they're so logical, aren't they? I mean, there's some meeting of the mind.
Well, quite. And you know, it's fascinating. I used to notice this. Yeah. Night after night, I noticed it. Whenever the girls join us, suddenly, nothing to talk about. I mean, you see, they're not interested in anything, are they?
Except marriage.
Yeah, devils. Yeah.
Oh,
and if that wasn't bad enough, suddenly the evening would get rather pricey because the ladies would start ordering shots.
Ah, yeah. A gin and orange.
Made you sick to look at it, didn't it? And every time we bought a pint, they'd say, oh, not another. I thought we were going on to see so-and-so.
Yeah.
And then when we did decide to go and see old so-and-so, what happened? They all disappeared and took half an hour to powder their noses.
Yeah, at least half an hour.
Devils.
Gin and orange, Fred, please.
Right, all beautiful.
There are exceptions to every rule, as they say.
She's rather gorgeous, isn't she?
Oh, look at those eyes.
I say, Peter.
Yeah?
Have you ever, you know, since you were married?
Well, no, not exactly.
Not exactly?
Well, I've thought about it.
Have you?
Oh, yes.
Excuse me. Could one of you oblige me with a match?
Certainly, beautiful.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Oh, is that my gin and orange, Fred?
Right there. Yeah, George.
Yeah?
I think she fancies me.
Oh.
Now, look, listen. If she and I happen to go on somewhere else for a drink...
Don't tell Nora.
No.
Right.
Thanks. Excuse me, but can we meet somewhere before?
Hey, where's he gone then?
What?
Well, your friend has just ordered these drinks.
He just stopped the bar there.
Oh, yes. Excuse me, sir.
Hello. George.
No.
George, have you seen Peter? I'm afraid we had rather an awful row, and I didn't know that he'd been buying me this brooch. I refused to cook him his supper. I even accused him of turning into a drunk. And what was that? It sounded exactly like...
Nora.
Excuse me, George. Peter.
Wait, darling. Excuse me. Laura!
Well, he's going to get it if I'm any judge of women. Mind you, I'm a much better judge of men.
What?
Well, I'd say there was bigger depth to you than to your friends.
Oh, well, now, look,
Well, what are you gazing around for? Someone going to come in and whip you off?
No, no.
Oh, good. Well, there's a party not far from here tonight. Oh, I don't like to go on my own. Well, let's take a bottle and see, eh? I mean, it's a start, isn't it? After that, we can play it by ear.
Mr. Starling?
Yes?
Oh.
What? Oh, thank you. Excuse me.
Well, tell him you're going to a party.
Hello?
George?
Kate, thank heaven you...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be that brilliant. The very last thing I wanted, I spent all day thinking what a wonderful evening I was going to give
you. It's all right, darling.
I cooked the souffle, and do you know what we're going to have first?
Darling, you don't have to apologize.
Kangaroo tail soup. And it wasn't an extravagance because I took it out of the money Auntie Phoebe sent for me for my birthday.
Kate, I'm trying to tell you I understand.
But I wouldn't have had it for the world, George. It's just that I was so terribly worried when you...
Darling, I want children, too.
And even beyond... What did you say?
I want children, too. I mean, I didn't want them for a year or two, but if it means so much to you...
Children?
Yeah, babies. Oh. But darling, why didn't you tell me you were feeling broody?
Broody?
Yeah, I've been thinking about it all afternoon. It's been worrying me stiff, and I had a good look at all the babies I saw, and some of them looked quite reasonable, so I thought, well... we'll manage somehow.
I never said anything about babies.
No, but you were a bit odd this morning.
Well, I thought you decided to...
What?
What?
Oh, what did you think I decided?
Nothing. I forget. Why did you think I wanted babies?
Well, you do, don't you?
One day, yes. Not yet.
Not yet?
No. Well, unless you want them.
No, no, no. I'm perfectly happy, darling. I mean, all the ones I saw today were quite hideous. What did you think I decided?
Oh, just that you wanted a bigger bed.
What? Oh, I suppose you got that out of that marital thingamajig of Nora's.
What? Yeah. Oh, good Lord, no.
Oh, well, I'll come home now, shall I?
Yes, please, darling.
As a matter of fact, I brought a little present.
Oh, no, George.
Before the row, not after.
Oh, darling, you are kind.
Well, so are you. I mean, a whole kangaroo tail for soup.
I'll put it on now.
Okay, don't bother with the souffle. I'll see you soon then, darling.
Yes.
Bye.
Well, you took long enough to stall them.
What?
Well, shall we go to the party then?
No. Eh? No, I'm sorry. Thanks very much for asking me, but see, I happen to be very happily married.
Of Marriage Lines with Richard Brows and Pamela Scales and George and Kate Starling, Heather Chasen and Jeffrey Matthews with their neighbours Nora and Peter, and other parts are played by Joe Kendall and Nigel Graham. Marriage Lines was written by Richard Waring and produced by Charles Maxwell.